Hello, America. For those of you just joining, I'm Rose Cranberry, and this is We Stay Lookin'. I'm grateful to all of you for listening to our show. The producers have been on me about increasing audience engagement, which is why I was glad to have received so many of your voicemails this week.
Rose, this is Marcus. Can you please let me take you on another date? My bank account was just tripping that day. You know how that fraud be. Anyway, I promise I can pay next time. Just hit me back.
Rose, my name is Mia. I think my boyfriend lost his job down at the factory. He told me they switched him to overnight shifts, but I called and they said they're not even open after 6 p.m. You think he lying?
Rose, is this Rose Cranberry? My grandson Thaddeus told me to call you. We lost our cat, Mathis. We named him after Judge Mathis. I would have let him knock my walls out back in the day, Rose. Anyway, he told me to call this number to help find lost stuff. Please call me back.
I was feeling uninspired until this message came in.
Hi, Rose. This is David and Bethany Flower. We need your help. Our baby girl, Daisy, is missing. It's been 5 days, and we haven't heard from her since she got suspended from school. Help us, please, Rose.
I typically find teenagers disgusting. But David and Bethany Flower were the obvious choice for our next case. To take this case, I knew I had to get inside the mind of a high schooler. And how do you do that? Social media.
Bam! I made you on Instagram. No need to thank me, you'll be getting my bill. And don't worry, I set it up so you're always logged in.
Thank you, Petey. Oh, look, I already have a message. Send me your social security number and bank account info.
Nope, don't respond.
They almost got me. Like that time I sent money to a stranger in Budapest because I like to see the best in people. And I could see the best in Daisy. Teenage years are a time of growth and exploration while struggling with acne and learning how to do your own cornrows. It's a time where teens figure out who they want to be. But for Daisy, it wasn't that simple. She belonged to a town that didn't accept her for who she was. I looked up this Daisy Flower and was able to find her Instagram page. The first post was a video of her showing off her school assignment. She was so proud.
Hey guys, it's me, Daisy, your favorite flower, and guess who got the highest grade in AP Bio? That's right, me.
The caption read, "Future Dr. Flower, hashtag Black Girl Magic." Seeing Daisy reminded me of the many girls I used to watch come in and out of Burlington after school with their hoop earrings and FUBU shirts, so full of potential with the world at their feet. I also felt a personal connection to Daisy, not only because we both have flower names, but from her post, I could see that she's a smart, beautiful, ambitious, and seemingly popular person. All of the things I was back in high school.
Rose, stop. You had a knee brace in high school.
Petey, get out.
Just saying, keep it real with the people.
Anyway, I looked up Daisy's hometown of Hadley Township, Michigan. It didn't look like a very diverse place. Apparently, it was 98% white and only 0.04% black. And I was about to make it 0.05.
Rose, hell no.
Just book my ticket. Can you do that, please?
At least take my gun with you.
OMG, we love Daisy. She always had such, like, inventive cheers and didn't mind when I took credit for them.
I move out the hood and give her a better life, and this still happens?
Good student, but unfortunately a very troubled young girl.
She mentioned one time they offered to buy her lunch as reparations.
I tried to tell you this place was weird as hell. How many times have we watched Get Out?
I'm Rose Cranberry, and this is We Stay Lookin'. I made it to Michigan safely. Petey had to book my flight into Flint because it was the closest airport to Hadley. There was a short bus ride into town. Petey said he read online that Hadley Town didn't have buses that left the town, only buses that entered the town. Was it true? I don't know. But I will say there were some very suspicious-looking folks headed into Hadley. I sat in the back of the bus in an attempt to keep an eye on everyone. Sorry, Rosa. Daisy's parents agreed to pick me up from the town after a Forex trading meeting. So while I waited, I decided to take a walk down Main Street to get a sense of the vibes. You know, as the kids would say. I started at Hadley Shops, the only shopping center in town. I first went into the Hadley General Store.
Did you find everything okay? Before you ask, yes, we do take EBT. We've never had to use it before, but I can go get my manager.
Then, stop by a local coffee shop.
Let me guess. Tall, black coffee?
Actually, can I have a flat white? I'm sure you know how to make that. I was learning a lot about this town already. I kept walking down the street for a bit.
God, are you from Flint? I have water bottles. Here, take extras.
It didn't take long for me to get a feel for Hadley Township. But luckily, David and Bethany picked me up from the shopping center before someone tried to touch my hair. The concern for their daughter was all over their face. I sat down with them at their house, anxious to get to work.
Thank you for coming, Rose.
I don't know what we would do without you.
I can only imagine what you're going through. Can you tell me more about Daisy?
Well, she's top of her class and captain of the cheer team. She makes us so proud. Before she became captain, the halftime performances looked like some Napoleon Dynamite type stuff. My baby switched all that up.
From the looks of her Instagram, Daisy doesn't seem to be miserable at all. Maybe even happy?
I love Hadley, yes I do. Beat your team, that's what we'll do.
But it's clear that she doesn't have any black friends. Was this something you think was bothering her?
No, not that I know of. I don't get it. I move out the hood and give her a better life, and this still happens?
I tried to tell you this place was weird as hell. How many times have we watched Get Out? And your ass still wanted to move out here.
Oh, here you go again. Why you gotta do this in front of company? What else was I gonna do? I had to move out here for my job.
Tell you to get into welding.
Can we keep this on Daisy for a second?
Sorry about that, Rose. You know how it is.
I actually don't. But did Daisy share anything with you guys about how she was feeling or what she was up to or any danger she may have been in?
Not really. We know she had just started the Black Student Union. She was excited about that. She was the only member, but she was looking forward to the growth. She had her days, just like anybody else. But you know how all these teenagers are. I just figured it was normal.
Well, how's it been living in Hadley so far for you?
We pretty much just keep to ourselves. There's not too many of us, so we stick out. I went to the barbershop, and everybody watched me get my hair cut the entire time. The barber didn't even know what a taper was. I just cut my own hair now.
That's why I'm confused how nobody knows anything. It ain't that many of us up here. We went to that punk-ass principal first, and he was unhelpful. She literally went missing the same day she got suspended.
These cops don't care. They told me they couldn't even search for Daisy because they don't have any black residents in Hadley.
So, that's when we called you.
I had heard enough. Daisy had been missing for 5 days now and no one cared. I asked David and Bethany if I could take a tour of Daisy's room, and they agreed. At first glance, it was a normal teenage bedroom. Clothes on the floor, a desk, a chakra tapestry on her wall. But when I explored further, I could feel the struggle of her dual existence. There was a poster of Normani, but underneath it on her desk was a picture of her at a Taylor Swift concert. Edge Control and silver clips lying on top of a Chris Evans t-shirt. Her yearbook quote was from Legally Blonde, but she had every Toni Morrison book on her shelf. I decided to call Daisy's phone.
Hi, this is Daisy. Well, actually, it's my voicemail. LOL. Leave a message.
Hearing that told me everything I needed to know. Daisy was using the voice. The safe voice. Poor girl. Not only was she physically lost, but she was lost internally. I needed more insight. My first stop, Daisy's high school. When I first arrived at the Hadley School, I was very impressed by how nice it was. The students even had valets for their bikes. I remember my high school barely had chairs for the desk. The principal, Mr. Cohen, was able to squeeze me in for a brief meeting during his lunch.
You know, you chose a great day to stop by. It's Sloppy Joe Day. Cafeteria chef really nails it if you're looking to grab a bite.
No, I'm fine. Thanks for making time. I was hoping you'd be able to tell me a little bit about one of your students, Daisy Flower. She's been missing for 5 days now.
Daisy Flower? No, we don't have anyone at our school by that name. Sorry.
Yes, you do. She's a junior. Here's her Instagram.
You guys, I was getting coffee and the guy was like, enjoy your coffee. And I said, you too.
Oh, her.
That's awkward.
Why didn't you just say the black one? I mean, yes, Miss Flower. Good student, but unfortunately a very troubled young girl.
Troubled?
Well, to be honest, she is a bit defiant.
Can you explain?
For starters, she's always had trouble following our dress code.
Doesn't everyone wear a uniform?
Yeah. But Daisy is, let's just say that she wears it differently than most of our students. It's a little on the provocative side.
I'm sure it isn't. But I had a feeling you'd say that.
Well, I'm no fashionista. Just calling it like I see it, ma'am. And I hate to bring this up, but Daisy caused a huge ruckus on Columbus Day, telling the entire student body that Columbus didn't discover America. I mean...
Well, he didn't.
I know, but why would she say it?
So what happened with her suspension?
She had some trouble following our hair regulations also. The constant changes to it have been a distraction to both faculty and peers. One day it's like this, and another day it's like that. The students have a hard enough time trying to keep up with their studies as is. And after she came in with those little braid things, I had to take action.
So you're saying you suspended her for wearing her hair in braids?
No. I suspended her for wearing braids at school.
Daisy's parents told me she was suspended on Thursday, March 11th. She's been missing since that day. Any idea what could have happened to her? It's troubling that the only black girl in your school goes missing and no one is concerned.
No, she's not the only one. Janice, our school counselor, is black also. I think. Brown for sure. Either way, Daisy used to talk to her often. Maybe she can help. Sorry, I've got to run. The students are making edibles and home ec again. Gotta get mine before they sell out.
It was clear that Principal Cohen had a skewed opinion of Daisy. He had no idea who she really was. If I wanted something I could actually use, I had to talk directly to the students. And the best place to do that? The cafeteria. I was going in. I started with the golfs.
We said if she was sad, she could join our group. We wouldn't even make her wear all black. You know, because she is already.
Her cheermates?
OMG, we love Daisy. She always had such, like, inventive cheers and didn't mind when I took credit for them. She even taught me how to do this step dance like I saw on TikTok. It's like, hey, hey, hey. Oh, I almost have it. I'm so close.
The overly eager drama kids.
Because of her, we could do Jefferson the musical. She played Sally Hemings. A little dark for the part, but she was still great.
Huh. The Young Republicans.
Hmm. I thought it was quieter around here. Well, I hope you find her since all lives matter.
I even spoke with one of her teachers.
Oh, Daisy, she's my go-to girl during Black History Month. She taught me that there was something called the one drop rule. Ooh, I wonder how many drops you are.
And finally, her homeroom monitor. Students check in at homeroom before class, so she would have seen Daisy every day.
Wait, who is that?
Hearing what the students had to say about Daisy was quite insightful. No one seemed to actually dislike her, so I was anxious to hear what things Daisy spoke to Counselor Janice about. Janice took some time to speak with me after her hall monitoring shift, and Principal Cohen was right. She wasn't white, but she definitely wasn't black. I knew she would attempt to connect with me as a fellow person of color, but the way she greeted me threw me off.
Hey, sis, I love that you're here. Anytime I can meet with one of us is such a pleasure.
Sure. I'm here to discuss missing student Daisy Flower. Principal Cohen informed me that you two spoke often.
We did. Daisy is one of my favorite students. She would come to my office regularly to vent about typical high school stuff, but mostly about her friends.
Oh, okay. So Daisy had a clique.
She did. They called themselves the WAPs, white-ass princesses. But Daisy is the only black one in the crew.
And I'm sure Daisy wasn't okay with that.
Honestly, no. She's mentioned that it made her uncomfortable before, but I think whatever she had to do to fit in, she did. She told me some of the inappropriate things they said around her.
Like?
One time, Daisy told me her friends asked her, "How come you people are always late?" And by you people, they meant, you know, us. And she mentioned one time they offered to buy her lunch as reparations.
And to your knowledge, Daisy just let them say these things. Do you think something they may have said could have led to her disappearance?
I don't know. But what I do know is that Daisy was searching for community wherever she could find it. She even started a black student union here at the school. She was a bit frustrated no one had joined yet, but she's hopeful. I personally haven't gone to a meeting yet, but it's on my list.
Even though you're not... Never mind.
Hearing about Daisy's friend group, the WAPs, made me feel as though Daisy at least had a semi-supportive friend group. Although slightly ignorant, they appear to at least want the best for Daisy. But did they say something to her to push her over the edge? I decided to refer back to Daisy's Instagram to see if there was anything else I could find out about her social life. The last video she posted on her feed was on March 4th, exactly 1 week before her disappearance.
Today's the day. Come meet me in room 1B for the first Black Student Union event. It's just me so far, but hey, that is okay. Rome wasn't built in a day. Neither was Africa.
Daisy's video got 51 white likes. And after a deep dive, I learned that none of those likes were from any members of the WAPs. Why? Didn't they support Daisy? Didn't they want to see her succeed in her efforts? I then, how do you say it? Slid into the DMs. Of each member of the WAPs to see if they had any free time to meet with me in between classes.
Oh my God, hi! I'm Haley, and that's Katie. I was just finishing up Katie's hair. Since Daisy got suspended for braids, we're getting them too. Gotta show our girls solidarity. but it's taking a while. This Shea Moisturizer stuff is so slippery.
I just wanted to talk to you about your friendships with Daisy.
Totes. We've been friends ever since Daisy moved here. Our names all end in the E sound, so it was fate.
Can you tell me what happened the day of the BSU meeting?
So we didn't go. We totally wanted to, but we didn't know if we could because we are not actually black ourselves.
Oh my God, Katie! You literally can't say black. It's offensive. You have to say African American.
I thought it was okay now. Is it? Sorry. We'd do anything for Daisy. She always stands up for herself and speaks her mind, even when it's about us.
Yeah! Like during the protests, she wanted us to make signs and march and stuff. We were like, duh, anything to Miss Algebra. Let's go to the mall.
Do you have any idea what could have happened to Daisy? Did she have any problems with anyone?
Wait, do you think she was, like, taken?
They'll totally make a movie about this. I hope Miley Cyrus plays me.
OMG, Haley, she's, like, old now.
Let's focus on finding Daisy first. Can you think of anywhere she could have gone?
No. We checked some of our hangout spots, but we couldn't find her.
And since she got suspended, she stopped responding in our Grext.
Grext?
Group text. It's a Gen Z thing. It's where, like, more than two people converse at the same time over technology, like, in a phone.
Oh, I know what it is. Thanks.
We've been checking her Finsta like crazy for clues, but nothing. She literally posts everything on there. Literally.
And I swear we don't know where Daisy is, but, like, even if we did, we probably couldn't tell you. That'd be, like,
totally breaking code.
After asking Petey what the hell a Finsta was, he explained to me it was simply a fake Instagram that Generation Z uses to post and interact with other accounts in a more private way.
That's how I keep tabs on all my hoes. They can't see me lurking.
When I asked for it, the girls refused to give it to me, as that would totally be breaking code. Luckily, Daisy's parents gave me access to her laptop. To no surprise, it was locked. I tried multiple password attempts. Daisy's middle name, her birthday, the name of her first pet. And then I finally cracked it. After multiple password attempts, it was 111111. I was in. I scrolled through her feed, and it was mostly the typical teenager stuff. Tongue-out bathroom photos, confusing dances, and sexy pictures of John Boyega. But then I kept scrolling.
Fuck Hadley High, fuck a cheer team, fuck this uniform, and fuck this entire town. Detention again. Principal Cohen said my skirt was too short, and what he meant was my ass is fat. I hate it here. I bet no one would even notice if I up and left.
I was thrown off by this version of Daisy. She had been so cheerful and positive on her other page. What was this about? But what I saw next was possibly the most disturbing thing yet.
Hashtag throwback to blackface at Hadley. Guys, I can't make this stuff up.
It was a picture of Principal Cohen eating a sloppy Joe in blackface. I knew Daisy was fed up. I also knew her anger wasn't from the microaggression or the overt prejudice she faced. We're used to that. It was from feeling invisible. Daisy wanted the freedom to be her authentic self. She wanted someone to see her, to hear her. And I did. My deep dive of Daisy's Finsta was interrupted by an urgent call from Daisy's parents.
Rose, you gotta get down to the police station ASAP, please. The police think they have something.
Bethany, David, what is it?
We got this voicemail from the police. They think they found something of Daisy's.
From the Hadley Police Department. We believe we have something that belongs to your daughter. We've never seen anything like this before.
Hey, boss. The helmet's potentially hazardous. It says it's high temperature fiber and that it's been pre-stretched in China. From, what does that say? Kenekalan?
should hurry. Gina, I thought the girl was a black.
When we got here, they pulled us into a room and some guy in a hazmat suit handed us this.
Bethany showed me this hazardous evidence. It was braid hair. An open pack of braid hair in what appeared to be some loose beads. This made no sense. I insisted that the cops let me take the beads, the remaining hair, and its original packaging home with me so I could investigate further. There had to be something here to get me closer to finding Daisy. I checked every fiber, every follicle, every tangle of that kinecolon. I found nothing. But then I took a closer look at the beads. I laid them all out across the floor. The beads were mostly plain, except for three of them. I noticed on three of them I saw the letters B, U, and S. The bus. Did this mean that Daisy took the bus out of town? Now then I remembered what Petey told me. There are no buses that run out of Hadley. Only buses that come into Hadley. Oh, what was I missing? Oh my God. Oh my God. I rearranged the beads again. And this time I saw it. BSU. Black Student Union. I took another close look at the hair. And it was black, but not too black. Just slightly off. 1B. I remembered that all the classrooms at Daisy's school started with a number and a letter. Could that be where she was hiding? I rushed down to the school to look, but I couldn't find room 1B anywhere. I asked some of the students if maybe they knew where the Black Student Union was.
Wait, we have black students? And they have a black student union? What is that?
BSU as in what exactly?
That doesn't sound fair to me. We don't have a white student union. I'm gonna speak to the principal about this.
This was getting me nowhere. No one seemed to know where the black student union was. I asked the janitor in passing.
I ain't never heard of no BSU. But Hadley keeps all them reject clubs in the basement. I think the Women's Society meets down there, too. I'll show you.
The janitor led me down a very long hallway. In the smallest little crevice of the school, there it was. Room 1B. No one would ever find this. He led me into the classroom and I stumbled upon a bulletin board that had a message from Daisy. Right there in plain sight. The message was very cryptic and read. I've gone to where the water is sweet and to visit my friend Mo in town. It was all right there. How could anyone have missed it? How did I miss it? Where the water is sweet. Sweet water. Mo in town. Motown. Detroit! That's where Daisy was. I called David and Bethany right away. We drove up to Sweetwater Tavern, a historic building in Motor City, and hoped for dear life that Daisy would be there.
Welcome to Sweetwater Tavern. We in the hood, but you'll be good. How many of y'all dining with us today?
We're actually looking for a young girl. 16. Maybe looks a little lost.
Oh, she had the busted braids? My girl Mo hooked her up. She in the back.
Daisy?
Oh, my sweet baby. Come here. You,
guys, get off me.
When we found her at Sweetwater Tavern, she almost looked like a new woman. She had fresh braids. She was glowing, potentially dehydrated. But either way, she looked good. She looked happy. I asked Daisy why she left after her suspension, especially without telling her parents where she was going.
I was over Hadley High. I was over my friends and I was over all of it. I hate it there.
I needed to escape before I did something I'd regret.
We've all been worried sick.
All?
Well, the three of us. But why run away?
I just wanted to be heard. One more sloppy Joe and I was gonna lose my shit. Once I got suspended, I tried to tell people about Principal Cohen and his stupid rules, but I got met with, well, what did you do? I knew I had to do something drastic. So I law and ordered myself and came here, to Detroit.
Daisy, anything could have happened to you.
I needed to be around my own people. I couldn't keep up this act. Do you know how exhausting it is to be in constant performance mode? I couldn't take it anymore. I left a note in the BSU and I knew nobody would find it, which proves my point.
Daisy, we knew it was hard, but you never told us any of that.
I just didn't want to make you feel bad. But at Hadley, I was either the black girl or I was invisible. No one saw me.
But why didn't you at least tell us where you were going?
I couldn't. You would have tried to stop me or posted about it on Facebook. I don't need no random aunties all in my inbox.
Daisy went on to explain that her disappearing act was simply a way to raise awareness about the lack of inclusion and diversity in the school system. The hair, the clothes, the way the rules shift for black students. I don't blame Daisy. It's unfortunate she had to experience any of that.
You found LaToya, and I just knew you'd come looking for me too. And now all your listeners will know my story.
Yes, they will. Once it was announced that Daisy was found, Principal Cohen thought it would be best if Daisy were expelled indefinitely. The WAPs recently changed their name to the White Allies, and Counselor Janice was proud to take over the duties of the BSU. Daisy Flower and her family have now permanently moved to Detroit. Daisy is happy to be at a more diverse school with metal detectors and a see-through backpack rule. Until next time, I'm Rose Cranberry, and this is We Stay Lookin'.
Thank you for listening to We Stay Looking. This concept originated in the Insecure Writers Room as a satirical way to highlight the injustices facing the black community. But that's not a joke. And that's why radio, Tenderfoot TV, and HBO are proud to support the Black and Missing Foundation, along with other organizations dedicated to seeking justice for our community. Visit westaylooking.com to learn more about these organizations and how you can help. We Stay Looking is a production of radio, Tenderfoot TV, and HBO, with additional production by Swirl Films. Executive producers are Issa Rae and Denise Davis for Hooray, Benoni Tego for radio, and Donald Albright for Tenderfoot TV. Written by Felicia Pearl-Mimpazzi, with additional writing by Kinsey Young and Chris Sanford. Directed by Kinsey Young and Chris Sanford. We Stay Looking stars Terry Vaughn as Rose Cranberry and Tristan J. Winger as Petey. This episode features Marseille Martin as Daisy Flower, Kev on Stage as David Flower, Angel Lakita Moore as Bethany Flower, Jason Coviello as Principal Cohen and Cop, Sujata Day as Counselor Janice, Chris Sanford as voicemail number one, Felicia Pearl-Mimpazzi as voicemail number two, Dominique Witten as voicemail number three, Zoe Renee as pedestrian, Alex Long as general store clerk, Goths, young Republican and student number one, Scarlett Ruby Bress as barista, Haley, and student number two, Fran Richter as Daisy's history teacher, Elise Gufoyle as Katie, drama kid and cheerleader, Charles Orr as janitor, Veronica Mannion as homeroom monitor, and Kinsey Young as Detroit hostess. Visit us at westaylooking.com. We Stay Looking is adapted from HBO's Insecure. Stream all seasons of Insecure now on HBO Max.